So we're just continuing our thoughts around some of the things that I think are sort of key to us at Network. And if you remember over the last few weeks that I've stood in front of you, whether that's been outside or inside or on Zoom or wherever it's been, we talked about the fact initially that everyone's valued, that we're created in God's image, that we've been revalued by Jesus coming living amongst us and dying for us. Then we talked about our worship, whole life worship, that all of our lives are part of our worship, that it's not just a few moments that we spend on Sunday or in our small groups midweek, but actually Romans 12 says offer your bodies as a living sacrifice because that is your spiritual worship. So we thought about that a bit and how we do that, the fact that as we go to work, as we are doing all the things that we do, then we're doing them because God has enabled us and enjoys us doing those things, and we're offering thanks to him in all the things that we do. Then we thought about being word-centered, having our focus on Jesus through his word and the word of Christ dwelling amongst us richly, as Colossians puts it, and each of us making our contribution into that space. And we might describe that in a rather long word as a community hermeneutic. So the way that we look at scripture is by each of us looking at it and bringing our thoughts and ideas and together discussing what we believe is happening and the word of God being alive and speaking to us, particularly in our small groups, but also perhaps on a Sunday. And we'll do a bit of that today, just so that you're aware. So I'll be asking you to contribute to our time thinking about the last thing in this little four-part series, which is us being kingdom carriers. Us being kingdom carriers. I like that thought that somehow we carry the kingdom of God. I don't know whether that's a familiar idea to you. It's become more and more familiar to me as I've thought about it, that Jesus came to bring in the kingdom. That he came carrying the kingdom, bringing in God's kingdom. And there's some thoughts around that that I just want to unpack. And I want to take some very familiar words from Matthew 6. They're familiar because they're contained in the Lord's Prayer as we've come to know it. So the disciples asked Jesus, how should we pray? And Jesus says, then is how you should pray, says Jesus. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So there's this sense that we're praying that God's will might be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when you think about that, what it says is that God's will is not being done on earth. If it was, we wouldn't need to pray for it to be done. Obvious statement, but I just make that statement up front. So we wouldn't need to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, if God's will was being done on earth as it is in heaven. So the fact that it's not being done and that God's kingdom has not come means that something else must be happening on the earth. Another kingdom must be present on the earth. These are fairly obvious things, but I'm just building a platform, really. And what's really, really interesting when I do Alpha, one of the most challenging weeks when we do Alpha, which is an introduction to the Christian faith, for those people that are thinking about or searching for God, we have one week where we look at the problem of evil. And it's often the most difficult week. Because the people that come are wrestling with believing in God, but actually, they hadn't thought that they might need to believe in the devil and Satan. That's a step beyond believing in God. And they can't quite get their heads around that Satan and the devil and evil exist in the way that the Bible describes that they do. And we have some interesting conversations. And the sort of comments folks say is, well, you're asking me to believe in God, that's one thing. Asking me to believe in the devil and Satan, well, that's just a step beyond where I might think I'm able to believe. So there is this sense in which we live in a world where people are more comfortable to believe in God, less comfortable to believe in the ideas, certainly in the New Testament and the Bible as a whole, that there is somehow an evil force at work that is personified in this person that we might call the devil or Satan. So that's quite interesting in the UK. Not so true, I don't think, probably in Hong Kong or Asia. Would that be true? Would most people in your part of the world believe that there is a devil and evil and Satan, that sort of idea? Do you think? Yes?
Yeah, in Asia,
I think so. So we are slightly unusual, I think, in the UK. And it's quite interesting that we as Christians believe that we're bringing God's kingdom into this space that somebody else occupies. That the world has somebody who is the ruler of the prince of the ruler of the air, as Jesus describes him, this character, which the Bible refers to as Satan or the devil. But it's not common knowledge amongst us. It's not something that people have in their minds or their heads in quite the way they do in other parts of the world. But nonetheless, we are called to bring God's kingdom into that space, and we believe that that space exists. But we need to, as the Bible says, push the darkness back and bring light into that space. So I thought maybe we could represent, so we can think of perhaps here's God's kingdom that we're in, that we're expanding into the darkness. Maybe the bigger circle is the rule and reign of evil, of darkness on the earth. This is the light that we are pushing out. How do we push this light out? How does the kingdom of God expand into this other space? This is the participation. What is it that pushes the darkness back? What is it? What is this light that we say we carry that we're taking into the world? Ideas?
Bring more people into the kingdom of God.
Okay, so get people from there into here. Yeah? But what does that really look like, Matthew?
It's the good news about what God can do in your life.
Okay.
So the light. You know, the light is the light of the love of God changing us and pushing back the darkness.
Okay.
Well, actually, the darkness disappears when the light's on.
So it's the light coming on in individuals' lives as they step into this space, linking to what Matthew's saying. Is that fair?
Well, what you're saying? Corporately too, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Individually and corporately.
Yeah.
Passing laws, for example.
Ah, okay. So that's a slightly different dimension. So there's some legal constructs. So this is more than perhaps just us as individuals. This is has a community dynamic.
Yeah.
So we're trying to change how this out here operates as well. Do you think? Is that fair?
If we stand on the boundary of darkness, because, as you said, we are kingdom areas of light, and the light extends into the darkness, so you just have to stand at the edge.
Okay, so we stand here, and the light penetrates the darkness. In what way does it do that, Justin?
Just our very presence, the things about what we carry, some people see it. So I heard of one person who's a vicar, who he just went into a shop somewhere, and the person, the shopkeeper, was one of these New Age people, very sensitive to the thing of the spirit, and she just said to him, "My goodness me, you carry an amazing aura."
Yes.
Anyway, he hadn't been praying for hours and hours that morning, just went into this shop. And I think we don't really get in the Western world what we carry in spiritual wealth.
Mm. Okay, so there's something about just our persona, our the Holy Spirit indwelling us maybe, that creates this aura, this presence, which some people might sympathize to. Yeah.
But it's rooted in something that's not airy. It's not just about airy-fairy. It's rooted in things like kindness, like self-control, like patience. It's character. It's the way we behave. It's the aura is actually the goodness of God lived out through us. Forgiveness, you know, responding in the opposite spirit. When people get angry, we respond with a soft answer. Things like that. Mm-hmm. Or the other way back, when we need to be strong, we're strong, you know. So it's like putting things into place, that it's that the character of who God is, the goodness of God, being demonstrated.
Mm. So practically the way that we live. Yeah?
In Brazil, 15% of the population have become born again Christians. That has changed the election dynamics.
Yeah.
As a consequence, they halved the amount of money spent on Carnival, which is a very hedonistic event, and spent money instead on children's education.
Yeah.
So the way that then our lives are transformed as we step into the kingdom means that we then transform the kingdom outside of our kingdom, the other kingdom, as we then live our lives differently. Yeah?
It's a very good practical example of the way that we have. Any other thoughts about
what the kingdom looks like and what we as kingdom carriers look like?
Our testimony and outreach.
Our testimony and our
outreach.
Outreach, yeah. Yeah, so the things
telling your story, I find, you know, really brings people into the kingdom.
Yeah. So just talking about our experiences of God, our encounters with Him, our relationships with other people, those sorts of dynamics. Yeah.
Sharing the good news.
Yeah.
I think as our character is honed by God working in us, and as we grow in the Christian life, then the giftings of God, the Holy Spirit, can work more readily through us, so that, as you said, people will see the difference. And it's not just a one-off thing, it's a continual growing, that as we develop and grow and become more sensitive to the nudgings of the Holy Spirit, then, you know, we will be more effective that we probably will never know, but it's just trusting God to use the little nuggets that we perhaps drop or leave behind us, that God can use it to bring about transformation.
Yeah, good. Mark?
One thing with your analogy here is that you've got all the Christians sort of in one place just talking to each other, except for the few that were sort of on the outside. And I like to think of it more as sort of odd bits of rope around here with little circles around them, so to speak, a bit like sort of bacteria on a plate, you know, you see how things diffuse out, and then you, how enzymes sort of then change things.
So bacteria on a petri dish. Cool. So these, are you thinking of these as other Christian communities or as us as individuals?
Well, it could be individuals, it could be small groups, it could be whatever.
I think it's that the kingdom isn't a place, so it's not within a boundary, it's a people. It's a feeling, it's an atmosphere, it's not a physical thing.
Okay.
And there is a contention, like what Justin was saying, that, you know, it's like the, you know, somebody who's not necessarily a Christian sees the dynamic in somebody that, you know, is a definite different spirit. And often actually that can produce sparks of antagonism.
Yeah.
Not just attraction, but also antagonism to the things of God.
Yes. So we can feel the pushback sometimes. Yeah. you know, you step into some places and you think, whoa, this is, you know, it's not what's the word called? It's not, it's resistant, I suppose, yeah. There's some spaces have what's described as an open heaven, don't they? The sort of the portal idea that there's openness in this space, or there's openness, you might bump into a person of peace, as they're sometimes described, who is searching for God, and you have a conversation that goes, whoa, just into this space, and other people it just sort of bounces back and comes back to you. So yeah, there's those different dynamics. Mm-hmm. Good.
I think too, when we're in the row, we're in a position of like being in a salt cellar, and we are being fed and we're being filled up and we're being seasoned, and then when we step over into the darkness, it's like the salt being sprinkled out, and what we have gained from being in fellowship with other Christians and close fellowship with the Lord is then sprinkled around in the darkness like the light.
Very good. Yeah. Good. Anything else? Because I just want to shift to something slightly different in a moment. Anything else that you're thinking or reflecting?
It just made me think of something that Mark Gilabapty said at Revive, where he talked about the church having two things, having deemed to have the highest level of morality. And that's again, it's something you see exhibited in the kingdom. But at the same time, having the highest level of compassion, because if you have one without the other, you end up becoming judgmental to the outside world. And that kind of struck me as having those kind of value sets. So having high moral standards and values, but having that love and the compassion. And that it's the love of God which pushes out the boundaries of the kingdom.
Yeah. Very, very good. Very, very good. Yeah. Mike was great, by the way, if you get an opportunity to hear him. I think the talks will be available, so we'll make them available. Send them around when they come. Okay, I'm just going to put this away, and we'll just do one tiny other thing before we close, in just a couple of minutes. So hopefully that's been helpful, just to stimulate some thinking. I think, ultimately, the kingdom of God is a bit of a mystery.
Amen.
Yeah! We're finding our way, which is why I wanted to explore it. Because it's like a mustard seed, you know. Jesus says it's like this, it's like that, you know, there's lots of different places. And it's quite difficult, I think, for us to pin it down. So I think to have those conversations for us to help each other think about what it looks like. Because we often use these metaphors, the terminology, but we don't necessarily think, okay, what does that mean for me today or tomorrow or the next day? What does that actually look like in reality? The other thing I just wanted to do, I was going to use some paper, but I probably won't. I'll just do this quickly. And you might have heard this before, so apologies if you have, but it's really helped me to understand something of the kingdom dynamic and how our world, certainly in the West, has changed to perhaps make this kingdom space open up a little bit more for us. And it comes from writings and reflections of a missionary called Dr. Heiberg, who you can look up, who came back, who was a missionary in India, and noticed that in India, when he was a missionary, people thought of the world as having three distinct layers. And the top layer was a transcendent God, a God who created the universe, who is in control and is at a distance, you know, as Cliff Richard might sing to us at Christmas. From a distance, God is watching us. Then there's that idea, isn't there, of the transcendent God. And then in India, he saw this middle section, as he describes it, of the spiritual forces of the world at work in the world. So we would put the Holy Spirit and angels in that middle section. Other faiths and religion would put, spirits in the trees or other, forms of spiritual activity on the earth. spells, incantations, that sort of thing, would sit in that middle space. And then the lower level was the empirical world, the scientific world, where you measure things, you know, whether it's shooting an arrow and it hitting a target, killing something, you know, that sort of that bottom layer. And what he observed was our Western world had squeezed out that middle section. The Enlightenment had squeezed out spiritual activity on the earth. But we lived, and our Christian faith was represented through two dynamics: a transcendent God, often shown by big church builders who stepped in and went, whoa, God is up there. And very little expectation of God being amongst us or being spiritually active through us. That had got squeezed out, and then the empirical world. And he just reflected, made that reflection, and I thought really, really helpful. And I think that has meant for us that what we think about the kingdom of God is different if we just existed in those two planes, as it were, and had that missing middle, as Dr. Heiberg talks about it. What's the good news for us is that that middle section has opened up for us through the Pentecostal charismatic movements, but also through our culture becoming far more open to spiritual things on the earth, through, you could say, the failure of the Enlightenment to produce the results that it was said to produce, technology not bringing the things to us that we hoped it might in all its fullness that was perhaps promised. So this middle section has opened up again. And you see it like a revival in spiritual interest. The problem we have, I think, as Christians, is that we're not seen as operating in that middle layer. People think of us believing in a distant God, working in practical ways, but not actually, they don't come to look for us, to us, for spiritual things in inverted commas necessarily. And that, I think, is one of our kingdom of God opportunities. As that space has opened up out there, so it needs to open up for us. And we need to get more courage, I suppose, as we are kingdom carriers, to operate in that middle space. To offer to pray for people, or if we have a word for somebody, to give it, you know, wherever that might be. And I think there's a greater openness for that to happen now. And we do it amongst us, but we don't necessarily do it out of those little rope circles in the spaces that we operate in. So that would be my encouragement to us. And I thought that was just another helpful dynamic for us to think about the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is a spiritual dynamic, and it operates in that middle space that's got squeezed out, that missing middle, that's now opened up, as far as the world is concerned in the West, a lot more than it was, and gives us an opportunity to step more fully into that space, carrying the kingdom of God with the Holy Spirit indwelling us and empowering us. So just two little thoughts there, which hopefully will be helpful for you to follow up, have more conversations in your groups as you meet over the next couple of weeks.